May the grace, mercy, and peace of God our Heavenly Father be with us this morning and forever henceforth. Amen. I was reading several different portions, and then Sue mentioned she was going to have this song for the third song. And I thought, boy, is that fitting. It's really amazing how that works out, because it's happened over and over and over again. I really wouldn't have a specific song that would be interested or would fit, really, I guess you might say. But every time, God comes through. It just happens all the time. The Apostle Paul was and is, I guess you could use past and present tense, regarded as probably one of the greatest apostles, one of the greatest writers of the New Testament. Although I am certain that I can truthfully say that if he were alive today, he would just totally excuse that or deny it or whatever the term is that you would want to use, simply because he recognized that everything that he had and everything that he had done, had written, and all the circumstances that he went through were by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul, after he came, or after on the road to Emmaus, and after he recognized that his salvation wasn't in the law or in the works that he had been doing, but his salvation was based in Christ and what Christ had done for him as an individual, not as a group, although it did take place for that also. But it was something that he recognized that he had attained, or he began to understand how it worked. He was, even in his own words, he was treated harshly. A lot of the things that he wrote about they were tough. Being locked up in prison, being beaten, locked up in prison several times, I guess I should say first. And yet, he never lost sight of who his God is and where his salvation lay. He never lost sight of that. And he wrote so many wonderful and encouraging parts of Scripture, which were, in all sincerity, which were God-ordained, because God used him and knew him and knew the person that he was, even as he knows who we are today. And he can use us also, but we have to make ourselves open to him. We have to make ourselves available. I'm kind of going through this, prefacing what I want to use for a text today, because this particular portion of Scripture is uplifting for me in the fact that someone in a secular sense and spiritual, so much greater than I am. And yet he fought the same battles. He had the same temptations. He had the same problems that I have. So I'd like to read for a short portion of Scripture in the seventh chapter of Romans. And we'll read from verse 15 down to the end of the chapter, verse 25. Something very familiar to all of us. I'm sure we've read it over. It's a little bit, the verbiage in here can be somewhat confusing if you read through it too fast. But we'll make it through. So we read these words in Jesus' name. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. For if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I do good, or when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He struggled with sin the same as we do every single day. He struggled with it. I can't say that he ever fell, but by reading this, he was certainly tempted to, the same as I am. We live in a body that is cursed with sin. It just started from the beginning. That's the way it is. We don't like it. We don't want to have to go through it. But the upside for that, the upside for having to go through that kind of sin or that kind of temptation or that kind of a struggle, the upside is such that we recognize we cannot make this walk alone. We cannot walk this road of faith by ourselves in any way, shape, or form. We need help, and that help comes from our Lord. That Holy Spirit that lives within each and every one of them, that Holy Spirit that was given to mankind when Christ rose on that day of Pentecost. And he told his disciples, if I don't go away, I'm not going to be able to send that helper to you. I have to go. And he did. And in his place, he sent that Holy Spirit to us to live within each and every believer, to live within us, to show us, to guide us, to instruct us, and even to caution us. That the path that we're taking is good or bad. Or the path that we're taking leads to joy, or it leads to heartbreak. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He covers all of the angles. He covers every quadrant. He covers every corner. And he gives to us the strength and the understanding. He gives to us the encouragement. He gives to us the direction. He guides our footsteps. We just have to listen to him. We just have to listen. If you hear that little voice inside your head, don't go that way, then don't go that way. If you hear that little voice inside your head saying, this is what you need to do, then do it. Oh, it sounds so easy, doesn't it? It sounds so easy to just say, okay, yeah, let's, okay, I'll go. No, it's not always that easy. I think in this lifetime, for each and every one of us, and to various degrees, of course, is a problem of worry. Worrying about how things are going to turn out, worrying about what is going to happen here. The Spirit knows all about that stuff. I heard an expression here a week ago, whatever it was. It involved with that. Peggy, I think you'll like this. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you get nowhere. And that's what it is. You see, because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. He's not off in the corner over there kind of giving you hand signals. Don't do that. No, he lives inside of you. Because that's the gift that we have received. That's the gift that we have attained because our Savior died for us. That's the gift that was given freely. We didn't have to pay for it. We didn't have to do anything for it. It was given to us. Why? Why did he send that Holy Spirit to us? He said, because, you know, if I don't go, I can't send him down. The Holy Spirit is known as the Comforter. He gives us comfort and acknowledging that I am a child of God, and that's comfortable. He gives us something that we would not be able to attain had we not believed. We are able to attain salvation. And that Holy Spirit will guide us on that path that will lead to that way. It will lead to that eternal life. All of this was thought out 4,000, if you go by the calendars, 4,000 plus years ago. Now, I don't know if that's accurate or not. I don't know. And it's not important. What is important is that God created the heavens and the earth and all that dwells within them. And Jesus Christ was right next to him by his side, along with the Holy Spirit, while it took place. And that plan that he has for me today at this moment standing here was known. Even as he knew everything that went on, has gone on, and will go on up until he calls that last time and that last day. He loves us so much. We talk so much and so often, we say, well, he loves us that much that he sent his only begotten son. Absolutely true. But have we really stopped to think about that? Have we stopped to think about the part where Jesus hanging on that cross, who was completely sinless, he came upon this earth with no sin, lived his entire life from childhood up until adulthood with no sin. And yet at that last day, he had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he had to do it because of the sin that was placed upon him. The sin that was placed upon that sinless one, because there was no other way. There was no other way that we could ever attain that glorious home that he has prepared for us. It had to happen that way. Do we completely understand it? Absolutely not. Do we accept it? Yes. Do we glorify God because of it? Yes. Then why do we sometimes turn our back on him? It happens because of sin. The Apostle Paul here says that if I then do that which I wouldn't, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then it is no more the I that do it, but the sin that dwells in me. That sin that we each and every one of us have, that dwells within us. How often have you been faced with a temptation or with something that you know isn't right, and you've made excuses? You ended up partaking of it. You ended up doing it. And the whole time thinking, you know, I really shouldn't be doing this. But it was my choice. I chose to. The old expression from years ago, and we probably, most of us remember it anyway, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He may have put the temptation in front of you, through your flesh, he might have put the temptation there and said, okay, hey, look at this. Boy, this looks like fun. Let's give that a whirl. He didn't make you do it. It was a conscious choice to do it. And even as the Apostle Paul is writing here, even though I didn't want to do something that's sinful, I did it anyway. And what he's doing here, he's battling the law and he's battling grace. The law meaning the sinful part of man, and the grace meaning the glorious grace that Christ has given. So he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. It's a constant battle. It's a struggle. Constantly back and forth and back and forth, struggling between good and evil, back and forth. And that's why having just been up in Washington, and I'm only saying this because that it was so easy to gather around other Christians because there were a lot of them up there. You know, people of our same congregation or same federation, however you want to say it. But there was almost daily contact. Not quite as much here because there aren't as many of us, but yet, you know, it's still there. I mean, they're as close as a telephone. But a lot of times you would just run into people and be able to talk and enjoy conversation and enjoy the time together. And I may be using that as an excuse, I don't know. But boy, it sure was nice. But I took the takeaway that I have for that is simply this, that I don't need to be away from brothers and sisters in Christ. I can be with them even at this time, just simply by using a telephone. And hey, I'm going through a bit of a rough patch here, you know. Kind of remember to pray for me. Help me out here. Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And then he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." I want to do what is right. I don't want to do it halfway. I don't want to do some of the things that I do. And yet, God continues to look at me with a forgiving heart, with a forgiving eye. He continues to watch over me. He continues to send his servant, his spirit, and instructing me. One thing I found, though, that is so important, stay in the Word. And a lot of times it's hard for me to open that book up. That Bible's laying right there by my chair. I think about opening it up and reading something, and then all of a sudden I remember something that hasn't been done in the yard. It happens. It happens to each and every one of us. You take a couple of minutes. Just take a few minutes. Who knows what could happen in that short period of time? There might be a blessing out there that's just waiting for you. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. I read a little thing this morning when I was studying this and looking at it. And it says our struggle with sin is not with a past event. It is a present reality. And it is real. It is a reality. It's a very real struggle that we have to go through each and every day. It's a struggle that God understands. That's the part of it that is just so overpowering for me. He understands the struggle that we're going through. He understands the things that we desire and the things we need. And he wants us to believe it. He wants us to believe the word that he has written for us. And he loves us. The portion of scripture says, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? No, 70 times 7. There's an interesting part at the bottom of that. I believe it's the 18th chapter of Matthew. The last verse, it says that you forgive with a pure heart. And I may be phrasing that wrong, but you can look it up and see exactly what it says. But what he's saying is that the forgiveness that we extend to one another, it's not with the attitude of, no, all right, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll forgive you. No, that's not how it is. You forgive with a forgiving heart. And that's such a glorious gift that God has given us. It's such a glorious gift that he has afforded us. That when that forgiveness is given, we know that it's washed away. I know I've said this many times before, but I continue to think of it. That whenever we're going through a struggle, whether it's spiritual or whether it's physical, or because he takes care of us in all those incidences and all those manners. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's some portions of scripture too where it says that, and he said it to Jacob in Genesis. He said it to Joshua in Deuteronomy and in Joshua. He said it to Solomon. And then he also wrote it in Isaiah for all of those who are struggling. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is his promise to all who believe. He will not leave us. He loves us that much. If you look up the term, I will never leave you, I was reading, I can't remember, it was a Greek term anyway that they use in there. And the literal translation of that term, or the root word, the translation of the root word that was used, is I will never abandon you. To say I will never leave you nor forsake you, yes, and it has significant meaning. There are times when you can add words that we use commonly today that we know they have a little more specific meaning. I will never abandon you. If you think of it in that way, to be abandoned, there's no hope. What do you do? Where do I turn? How am I going to get through this? I've been abandoned. God won't do that. I will never abandon you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's something we constantly have to remember. Remember it to the point of the knowledge and understanding of his love for us. May he add these blessings to his word. Amen.